Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
I'm going to start a new series right now. Now, before I announce that series, I want to just share a couple of thoughts. Throughout our lives, we all travel through lots and lots of doors. Some of them are really insignificant doors. You just walk through them without even noticing them. And others are incredibly important. I remember walking through the headmaster's door frequently in my first school, my middle school, and my high school. Let me tell you, it was not to collect commendations. I remember picking up Chantel and carrying her through the threshold of our first home. I mean, I remember her saying, she said, babe, she said, you literally just sweep me off my feet. She's still saying it. She's a lucky girl. I remember walking through the door of an airplane, BA-58, which was flying from London Heathrow to Cape Town, South Africa, in May 2008. And it was the door of the plane that I walked on, and little did I know it would be 6 years until we came home. And stepping on that plane, I had tears in my eyes as I left family and friends and our church. It was a door. I remember walking out of church in March of this year, 21 weeks ago, not knowing that as I left Mason Road, it would be the last Sunday for a long, long time that we would see our church family together in this building. But even though those doors are important in our lives, there are other doors that are even more important that we need to walk through. And you will face many kinds of doors in your life, doors of opportunity, doors to happiness, doors to abundance, doors to achievement. But the most important door that any of us will ever walk through, or door that we will ever step over, is the door into freedom. I want to launch a brand new series today called Freedom. Over the month of August and into September, we will tackle some of the doors that we're going to walk through on the journey into freedom. Our key series verse comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. It says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible clearly states that the only way to true freedom is through Jesus. So often we quote one of my favorite scriptures in John 10:10. It says, I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come that you might have life and live life more abundantly. Often we miss out John 10, verse 9, which Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Here's the deal. To get to John 10:10, you've got to go through John 10:9, where Jesus is the door. To get to an abundant life, you've got to walk through the door, and the door is Jesus. So many people are looking through at doors, other doors. You see, alcohol or a pill, or sex out of the boundaries of marriage. It might give you a sense of freedom for a moment, but it wears off, hence why people want more and more. But the gospel goes on to say, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I think most people, if I was to ask anyone, what do you think true freedom is? I think it would be freedom or life without restraint. I can do anything I want to do, say anything I want to say, go anywhere I want to go without anyone ordering me around. People would say that's true freedom, to be free of all counsel, to be free of all authority. On December the 8th, 1995, I walked through what I thought was my door of freedom. I turned 17 years old, And like most 17-year-olds, there's only one thing you want to do on your 17th birthday. Drive a car. If you live in the UK, I know in America you can start at like 13, but in England, we're a little bit more sophisticated and we start a little bit later. Okay, so 17 years old. And my friend, my good friend Ben, if you're watching, thanks Ben, he offered to give me my first lesson in his dad's truck. Who could be listening? And I went straight down a verge into a parked car. And what I realized is freedom was costly. You see, true freedom isn't your 17th birthday. It's not a job, it's not a career, it's not a place, it's not a person. Freedom is far more than that. People ask me all the time, they say this, and they might ask you the same. How do you know that Jesus is for real? I think that's a brilliant question. How do I know Jesus is for real? Now, you can point to scripture. You can go to the Bible. But if the person refuses to believe the Bible is not the inspired word of God, you're off to a non-starter. Or you maybe have tried debating science. But more often than not, if I've ever tried to debate science, the person debating with me is smarter than me and I lose the argument. So the only way that I can prove that Jesus is real is this. I want you to write this down. Changed lives. Changed lives. You see, Jesus, the proof is in the pudding. I have seen people come through the doors of this building, messed up, without anything, high to the hills on a substance, and over time, planted in the house of God, they find the door, which is Jesus. As they walk through the door, they walk into freedom. I've seen people come in suicidal with no reason to live. But Jesus has given them a purpose to help others and love others. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. People who were once living in a prison of fear or insecurity. You see, freedom is not based on my past mistakes, my present circumstances, or my future worries. Freedom is based on Jesus. Yeah. True freedom. And this is really just setting some groundworks for the series. And we're going to be tackling some great subjects like contentment and forgiveness in this series. It's going to be fantastic. But I just wanted to lay some groundworks at the outset of this series. True freedom can only be found through Jesus. The door to Jesus is the door to freedom. You see, you can't get free until you find Jesus. This is why Chantal and I, we're so desperate to get the doors of this church open again. Because when people walk into this environment, they say the same thing every time. Something is different. Yeah. It's because they've just walked through the door into Jesus. This is God's house. And I want us all to make a decision at the outset of this series. I'm going to be free. Yeah. Freedom's not on your 17th birthday, getting a license to drive a car. Freedom is not in some of the things we think it is. Freedom is so much deeper than that. And God wants our church. God wants you. Maybe you've just found this, found us on YouTube, but God wants you to be free. Freedom is a big deal to God. He doesn't want you to live enslaved. He doesn't want you to live imprisoned. Not for a single moment of your life. It's the very reason God sent Jesus to earth. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said, the Lord has sent me to announce freedom to the prisoners. He's talking about people who are imprisoned in addiction, imprisoned in rejection, in shame. God doesn't want you to feel a little free or partially free. God wants you to feel truly free indeed. You see, we'll all live where the Spirit of God is, and when you find the Spirit of God, you live in freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I wonder what area of your life you don't have freedom over today. could be fear, it could be a destructive habit, it could be a person. And a lot of people, they can't be free because of a person. It could be a mistake. God didn't create us to live behind bars. God wants us to live in freedom. You know, often in life, and I do this a lot, we would rather choose normal than new. Normal is what's familiar. Normal is what we know. And so for some of us, we've been so living in fear for so long, it's just become normal. And we don't even see it in ourselves anymore. Some of us, we've become so negative and cynical and Debbie Downer syndrome that we don't even see it in ourselves anymore. And we're bound by it. And so normal is what's familiar. But God wants to break you in this series from normal to new. But new requires change. New requires perseverance. It requires letting go. God doesn't want you to go back to what was normal. In fact, this COVID-19 season, God is doing some stuff in me. God is doing some stuff in you. And he's breaking us out of what was normal in some of our habits and some of the ways we lead our life. And he's saying, I want to take you from what was normal and I want to break you into something which is new. God wants to bring us out of normal into new, but it requires change. Freedom always requires a new mindset. If any of you have ever tried to lose weight or get fit, here's the thing. Your old mindset won't help with your new habits. You first got to change your mindset. That was the introduction. Father God, I thank you. I thank you right now that you, your heart, your desire is that people would live in freedom. You long to see your church living in true freedom. And Father, whatever those things are that are keeping us captive, Father, I pray throughout this series, whether it's today or next week or the week after, that you would help people climb out of the cages, the prisons that they're in, and we would see a new freedom sweep over our church. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk just for a few moments today on the subject of doors to freedom. Doors to freedom. Freedom is God's plan for you. God's plan for you. I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself today just as much as I'm preaching to anyone else. I'm going to share just three doors. These are three personal doors that I've had to daily walk through over the last 6 months to experience freedom. Door one is the pain of the past. Door two is the pressure of today. And door three is the pessimism of tomorrow. And these aren't doors you just walk through once and everything's rosy. It doesn't work like that daily. I've got to let go of the things of the past. I've got to deal with the pressures of the today. And I've got to face the thoughts of tomorrow. So I want to talk first of all about this first door, the door one, the pain of the past. Jesus wants to set you free today from the pain of the past. You know what? We all have pain from the past, past hurt. Maybe you lost a family member during COVID. Maybe it's a pain from a former relationship, a former marriage. Maybe you were treated badly by your employer. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on the pit. One of the pits that the enemy wants to keep us in is the pit of the past. Why? Because the past stirs up pain. And I've discovered that the number one cause of unhappiness in my life and probably your life is we get stuck in the pain of the past. We hold on to hurts. We can't even relate to the present because we're so hurt from the past. And every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. But there's two kinds of pain that people have hard time getting over, and I think you'll be able to relate to these things. Two kinds of pain that we struggle with from the past. Number one is resentment, number two is regret. Pain can normally fall into one of those two categories. But Jesus wants to set you free today from both of them. The enemy wants to keep you in resentment. He wants to keep you in regret. But I'm believing right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that God is going to set people free in your living room, in your kitchen, in your hallway, in your car as you're listening. God is going to set you free from the pain of the past. You're going to walk through the door into freedom. The pain of resentment. What is the resentment? It's been hurt by others. Some of you, you've been hurt. You've been hurt again so many times. Sometimes it's been intentionally and sometimes it's been unintentionally. But what we do with that hurt ultimately determines how we live our lives. In a couple of weeks' time, Chantelle is going to be speaking on freedom through forgiveness. No one has more credibility to speak on that than Chantelle that I know of. But she has lived with this, that she has not been able to walk in freedom until she lets go of the two R's, regret and resentment. You cannot move forward in life. You cannot walk through the door of the past into freedom until you let go of regret and until you let go of resentment. Jesus wants to help you get over resentment and regret. And what is regret? Regret is we've blown it. We've hurt people. And the devil wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you replaying all the moments in your life when you had an unhealthy conversation, an unhealthy relationship, an unhealthy choice. The devil wants to keep replaying that memory in your life. And it leads to guilt. And guilt leads to shame. And shame leads to blame. And it goes on and on and on. Here's the good news today. Jesus wants to bring you into complete freedom. He wants you to step over the threshold from your past pain into a future hope in Him. I want to pray right now. If you're struggling right now with the pain of the past, I feel the Holy Spirit. He's going to set people free right now. I literally want you to lift your hand right now. I don't care if you're with someone. I want you to lift your hand if you're struggling with regret or resentment right now. Father God, you hear. And you see every pain of the past. Unintentional and intentional. Yet you still love us. And I pray right now you give everyone watching the ability, the strength through your Holy Spirit to let go right now. I want you to let go of it. God wants to wipe it clean. Give you a fresh start. There's freedom coming into your home. There's freedom coming into your life. There's freedom coming on into your marriage. Let it go right now. In Jesus' name. God specializes in new beginnings, church. God does not want you walking around, moping around with a load of guilt on your life. God is a God of freedom. That's why He came up with a plan to relieve it all. He sent Jesus. Jesus Christ, He came to earth to die for all my sin, all my selfishness, all the times I was unkind. All the times I was lacking in thoughtfulness, Jesus, He died for it all. You are not defined today by the worst thing you've done. You're defined by the best thing Jesus Christ ever did, which is take your shame, take your past, take your sin, and lead you into freedom. The pain of the past, door two, is the pressure of today. Jesus wants to set you free from the pain of the past, but He also wants to relieve you of the pressures of this day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like my life is out of control right now. Life is complicated. Just when we thought things were getting better, then the news just keeps getting worse. I mean, watching the news right now is stressful. Switch it off. Sometimes the stress gets so heavy. But like you, I sometimes feel like I'm at breaking point. Maybe feel like you're going to go under, maybe even for the last time. The pressure of today. I want you to write these two things down. Whenever you're under pressure, you need two things. There's two things you need to ask God for whenever you're under pressure. Number one is strength, and number two is stability. Strength and stability. Here's the good news. God offers them both to us. They're always on His menu. Matthew 11:28. Is anyone needing some strength and stability right now? We do. Chantal and I, we're feeling the pressure right now. We're moving into half the house season and we've got dreams and desires to get the church moving forward. But there's so many things trying to pull us back. But here's the thing. God is in it. God is in it. And the pressure of today, I'm asking God for strength. And I'm asking for stability in this season. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me. This is Jesus. All you who are weary, pressured, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, church. For my yoke is easy and my burden, the pressure that you're carrying, Jesus said, hey, I can help you carry it. To every single parent out there, Jesus says, come. To every person who's worn out, to every person who's tired right now, the message is Jesus, from Jesus to come. To every small business owner who can't see a way through right now, strength and stability. I'm so glad in the Bible, God is not described as a fun fair or a cruise ship or a deck chair or a calm sea. He's described as an anchor. He is an anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. You know what anchors bring? They bring stability and strength in a storm. Right now, if you're facing the pressures of today, you need God to help you walk through that pressure, that door of pressure, and we do, you do. Every day, I want you to ask God, I want you to write this down in your Bible, asking for strength and asking for stability. God, I need your strength today to help me get through another day with my kids. I need just stability in my business. Father God, I ask you right now. We're living in a world which is changing so rapidly and everything's up in the air. But we need that strength and stability. Famous author Alvin Toffler, he's a futurist. He said in his books, Islands of Stability, he said that we need islands of stability in our lives. And I've been really challenged of that. Islands of stability are emotional and spiritual anchors that when the pressures of this life come and we feel like we're falling apart, we can revert to. I want to share my five anchors of stability with you. These are five anchors that I go to when storms come and the pressures of life come. You've got to have things that are immovable. They are anchors in your soul. The first anchor of stability, island of stability, is my Bible. Come on. I want to encourage us all to stay connected to your Bible. Yes. I know there's great podcasts and some great stuff out there, but I want to encourage you to stay connected to your Bible. Dust it off. Read it, digest it, invest it into your soul. It's an island of stability. My second island of stability is my group, my community. And if you're not in a group yet, please sign up. Go on to soulchurch.com and find a small group. You know, we can now meet in bubbles. We can meet in groups. So I want you to find a group. We've got golf groups. We've got sport groups. We've got investment groups. We've got lots of different groups online. We've got community groups, young groups, older groups, boating groups. We've got so many groups. But let me tell you, when the pressures of today come, you need a community around you. When your world is rocking, they can keep you stabilized. They can bring strength to you and stability in your season. My third island of stability is my online church family. I know it's not the same. We don't pretend it is, but it's what we have. And if I was in a storm and all I had was a dinghy, I'd choose a dinghy. Yes, I want to be on the cruise ship, but if all I had was a dinghy, I'd take the dinghy. And right now the storm is raging in our country and our world. And all we have is a little dinghy to hold on to, but let's hold on to the lifeline that we have in this season. It's just an hour a week. To bring some help and strength. My fourth island of stability is my tithe. Our church has been so generous, they've been so sacrificial in this season. But when the storms and the financial challenges come, I want us to encourage you to keep putting God first in this area of our lives. So easy just to pull back and withdraw. Whatever financial challenges come at Chantel and I, there's one thing that we do not move. It's an island of stability. It's our tithe. It belongs to God. And He blesses it. And we've navigated some choppy waters in 15 years of marriage financially, but we've never moved that island of stability. I encourage you to keep putting God first in that area when the pressures of today come. My fifth island of stability is my family. I know that some of you, maybe you don't have a family. Maybe you're a widow or a widower and you're all alone and church is your family. Well, that's your island of stability. But I want to encourage you to stay close to your family. Stay close to your children. Stay close. I know we're all different, but we need one another. Keep telling your parents you love them. Keep doing what you can, because in a storm, we pull strength from one another. When the pressures of today attack your life, never leave the islands of stability. What are your islands of stability? What are the things that even when the pressures of this life come, you will not move? Church needs to be an island of stability in our life, that even though it's not easy right now, we can hold on to it. Write them down, know what they are. I want to pray for you right now. If you're feeling the pressure of today, you're feeling the pressure on your marriage, you're feeling the pressure of day-to-day life, you're feeling the pressure on your finances, you're feeling the pressure and you don't have enough power to make it on your own, and you're feeling tired right now, here's the deal. You need a source which is stronger than you are, which is Jesus. I'm going to pray right now for strength and stability. If you're facing pressure right now, from all different angles, let me pray. Come to me, Jesus said. Father, right now, I know that so many of our church family are facing pressure. Pressure of today. Financial pressure. Pressure in the marriage, pressure in the home. And I pray, Father, right now for strength and stability. I pray that mums and dads and young people would write down what their islands of stability are. What are those things that they will not move on, that will remain stable in their lives, even when storms come and the pressure comes? They will be their firm foundations. They will be an anchor to the soul. So I speak peace into every home, every hospital bed, to every person who can hear my voice. Strength right now. Stability. In Jesus' name. Our third and final door is the pessimism of tomorrow. Jesus wants to set you free from the pessimism of tomorrow. What is pessimism? Well, it's just being defeatist. It's doom and gloom. It's resentment. It's just being despondent. Let me tell you, we can really easily slip into that right now. Let's be honest, none of us saw 2020 quite shaping the way it has. If you did, write to me. I want to talk to you because I want to know what 2021 looks like. But it's very easy to get sucked into the world's perspective of where we are. So easy to lose hope. I want to speak hope right now into your situation. God wants you to live in freedom. You can't live in freedom if you're holding on to the past, or if you're weighed down to the pressures of the today, or if you're living in pessimism for tomorrow. Pessimism is simply when people lose hope. Why do people lose hope? Well, there's two reasons. You can write these down. People will always lose hope. Number one, when they're facing a situation that needs to be changed, but they cannot change it. So whenever you face a situation in life that you can't change, you lose hope. Can anyone relate? COVID-19, we cannot change it. We can play our little part. We can follow government guidelines. By the way, I love those. But here's the deal. We can't change it. And there's been moments, pastor's honesty moment here, throughout the pandemic where I've struggled. I've preached hope on a Sunday and felt really pessimistic on a Monday. Why? Because I can't change it. As a leader, I want to change it, and I want everything just to go back to whatever back was. But I can't. And whenever you want to change something, you can't. You lose hope. The second reason we lose hope and become pessimistic is we don't know the purpose that God has for us anymore. The Bible is really clear. God created everyone for a plan and for a purpose. The sad thing is, most people go through life never discovering their purpose. Their purpose of their relationship with God and their purpose that He placed them on earth. Hope is essential right now. If you're going to walk through the door of freedom, hope is essential. We can live. I said right at the start of this pandemic, my very first message, I spoke on hope. And I said, you can live 40 days without food. You can live 3 days without water. Some of you, if you're super fit, can go 8 minutes without air. I can't. But you can't go 1 second without hope. We need hope. The moment you lose hope, you're just existing. You're not living. God wants you to live with eternal hope. Wherever you're watching from right now, I want to speak hope from Soul Church into you, into your bedroom, to your office. Hope. We will make it. Someone needs to hear these words again. We will make it. Place your future, place your pessimism into God's hands right now. God has a plan and God has a future for you. Your past, your present and your future belong to God. Let's not write off 2020. Let's stop telling people it's over. You don't have a purpose. Maybe you've been furloughed. God has a plan. Maybe you've lost your business. God has a plan. Maybe you've been separated from family. God still has a plan for you. Maybe you're missing church and being in the building. God still has a plan for you. God's plan and purpose for your life, they remain the same. The question is this, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Someone said to me just this week, said, well, what is the purpose of my life? Right now, if you feel like there's no purpose for your life, can I encourage you? Find someone and help them. Just find someone and help them. We took our kids for a walk through the city center this week on Tuesday evening, and Miracle Joy said, Daddy, she said, we'd had some dinner. She said, I want a dessert at Subway. I want a double chocolate chunk cookie. That's her favorite. It's my favorite too, but that's for another day because my wife's listening. Sometimes I'll buy them for the kids and add one. When she's not looking, I'll just quietly eat it in the corner. So I got Justice and Miracle a cookie. So we're walking through the city center, this beautiful lady, part of the homeless community of our city. She stopped us and she said, I'm hungry. She said, do you have any money? Before we even had a chance to respond, our daughter ran up and she gave her the cookie. My heart just dropped. This lady was just in shock. I don't know what Miracle will go on to do in her later life. I don't know whether she'll be a teacher or a nurse or whatever the plans and the purposes God has for her. And I'm sure she'll be incredible, but I'll never forget the moment when she gave her cookie. And nor the lady who received it. Now, Justice didn't give his cookie, but he did offer Miracle half of his. That's another story. But I wanted to say this, you know what? Sometimes our purpose in life is simply attached to helping someone. What about this week we all made a decision? Rather than being pessimistic about the future, just to walk through the door of helping somebody else. What about if we all said this week, God, I know I'm pretty unsure of how my work looks, how my life looks, but I'm just going to be committed. Remember we talked about those five people at the start of the pandemic? I'm just going to call five people in church. I'm going to call five people who I haven't seen around. I'm going to help someone on the street. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go into the warehouse and pack some boxes, but I'm going to live for a purpose which is greater than myself. You know what I've found? Whenever I start helping someone else, I step into this thing called freedom. And suddenly my issues are not quite as big as I thought they were. Whatever my issue was walking through the city when I saw this beautiful, beautiful lady on the street who had nothing, I realized that all my concerns, cares, and issues were completely insignificant to compare to what she was facing that night. God's purpose for our lives is to love and to help others. Make your life about helping others and you'll always live in freedom. The moment you make your life about you and your problems and your needs and your insecurities, let me tell you, it keeps you bound. It keeps you in your past. It keeps you in your today, and you cannot move into your tomorrow. God wants to relieve you from the pain of the past, the pressures of today, and the pessimism of tomorrow. How does it come? It comes through a person, and his name is Jesus. He is the door which leads to freedom, which leads to life, which leads to purpose, which leads to destiny. Come on, would you give God some praise? Would you give God a shout? Come on, why don't you say hallelujah in your living room? Why don't you lift your hands? Why don't you begin to praise and magnify the name of Jesus? I speak freedom. I speak life. I speak purpose over every person who's watching in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's sing together. Hallelujah.
I pray that your heart is experiencing the very presence of Almighty God right now. That was an incredible message. And I don't know how many of you have received Amazon gifts. You've been online, you've ordered things or online shopping, and you get that knock at the door and the person leaves whatever it is and they go. I want to speak to you right now about opening your door, the door of your heart to Jesus Christ. I want us, whether you're sitting together with family or you're on your own, to think about the spiritual condition of your heart. You see, in Revelation 3 verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart. And if you hear my voice and open your heart, I would love to come in and be with you. Because I have a gift for you that I don't just want to leave and run. He wants to live with you and help you unpack that gift of freedom that Pastor John talked about so brilliantly. He wants to take that pain of the past and he wants to replace it with his peace. He wants to give you forgiveness and in fact wipe the slate clean. Forgiveness of sin and going your own way. And he wants to take that pressure of today that we all can so often feel. He wants to relieve that with his purpose, with his peace, with his meaning for your life. He wants to walk with you and be with you and strengthen you. And what's more, he wants to take that pessimism of the future and he wants to replace it with hope. Don't live another day without hope for tomorrow. We need hope more than we need oxygen or water or food. And some of you will have thought long and hard about what is important in this season that we've gone through. Suddenly, things seem so much more uncertain. But God, in his love, is certain about his love for you. And you might say, yeah, you don't know about me and what I've gone through. Don't be defined by the worst thing in your life, but be defined by the best thing that Christ has done for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you so you can open up this box, this gift of freedom for eternal life. Maybe you're sitting there today and your heart's beating a little faster and you know this is for you. Maybe your family have been praying for you for a long time. Or maybe some of you have once prayed a prayer. And I'm going to pray in a moment, a simple but a powerful prayer, inviting you to open the door. Some of you maybe prayed that prayer, but during this season of this lockdown, you've become a bit distant and cold in your heart. And you know your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Can I encourage you right now as you're watching this screen, to say yes to Jesus. He's waiting with arms of love, saying, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary, I will give you rest. I want you to come back to me right now. So let's pray this prayer together. If the first time you're saying yes to God, or if this is the second time or third time, you need to come back into right relationship. And your relationship that was a thing of the past is going to become a thing of today, of the present. And you're saying yes to freedom right now in Jesus' name. Say these words after me. You can say it quietly or out loud, wherever you feel comfortable. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Right now, I open the door of my heart. I ask that you would come in. I say yes to freedom. I say yes to peace and forgiveness for my past. I say yes to meaning and purpose for my today. I say yes to hope for my future, life beyond the grave. Thank you for accepting me as I am, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We always, as a church family and as a staff, we applaud you for making that significant decision. And if you're with someone today, maybe you want to tell them, a family member or a friend, but could you just do a couple of things? Could you pop it in the chat maybe? Or could you text the number that comes up on the screen? Or maybe you can go on our website and pop down your details, because we would love to contact you. We're not designed to do life alone, and we want to help you on this journey of getting to know Jesus. So a huge congratulations to you, and we want to help you take the next step. You could also download the Bible app and just start by reading some of the scriptures that Pastor John talked about today, and know that he loves you dearly. He will always be with you. And keep tuning in online. Talk to someone you know that already knows God, so they can encourage you also.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.